latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a grade one race but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at
502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back 20 plus into hour three on a busy Tuesday. Thank Marshall Graham. Did not expect a full almost 50 minutes with Marshall, but the topic is so furtive, and there's so much about given how much of a part of the landscape they are, the multi-race bets at least the industry, for those that are, super conscious of the pricing, the industry has tried to respond by creating, particularly the pick five low takeout scenario. And there seemed to me, after having three of them in essentially a 6-day period, that there was a topic to be fleshed out. And whenever Marshall comes on, the same thing with Maury Wolf, probably the two, top racetrack economic analysis types out there. You don't see him, and I don't know if Rocky would do it, but Rocky, who's known as Math Capper, In fact, I'll see Rocky at Philadelphia this week. He'll certainly, he always is there. And I didn't see him at Saratoga this summer. I didn't see anything or anybody. But Rocky does some terrific analysis, the same kind of you know, number crunching and distilling of, you know, mutual pool economics. And look for his stuff at the Thorograph board, at the Ask the Experts board at Thorograph.com. Math capper, but he's really Rocky. Bill Downs standing by. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, you know, I love when we have a pick five carryover Indiana Grant. Doesn't matter if it's a couple thousand dollars. All of a sudden, the pools balloon up as the bettors just love takeout bets on top of carryovers, just because it's a winner for the players, especially the sharp players of the long haul.
Well, and you, and in fact, you had one. You had one that you know, didn't seem, you know, people might think that it has to be six figures. It doesn't. You had a 30 something thousand the other in the last week or the week before, and it ended up being a very lucrative opportunity. So it they come in all shapes and sizes.
Yes, that I would agree with. Sure.
Take a couple of minutes and before we look ahead to the week, let's go back to last week, because you know, I had a lot of fun the week before talking about the two big races, Winter Sunset and of course the DQ that elevated Carruz, and you know, came back with another nice sequence, you know, coming back with the Indiana Breds. Talk about the last week of racing.
Well, yeah, we had four Indiana Bred stakes races, a couple for the 2-year-olds, a couple for older horses, and it was kicked off in the City of Anderson Stakes. It was a big upset. She's the Cause came from off the pace. Lady Ally, the second choice, had the lead in mid-stretch but couldn't hold on. You know, they didn't really go that fast. It was the 2-year-olds in the Hillsdale Stakes that really kind of impressed me. They ran much faster, like a couple, 2.5 seconds faster, and it was won by Two Last Words for trainer Tim Glyshaw. Second choice in the race, stopped the early pace. Mai Tai's Gem was the favorite, got that down to 7-5. And he had the lead in the middle stages, but Two Last Words wore him down. And it was ironic because Two Last Words, even though he's an Indiana bred, that was career start number 5, and that was his first start against Indiana Breds, even though he's based in the Midwest. And Two Last Words took on Stakes Company in the last time out, or before this last race at Ellis Park. Didn't do that well, but he was obviously much better than his race at Ellis Park, and was able to get the win in the Hillsdale Stakes. And then the Merrillville Stakes was probably the race I was looking forward to the most. Showdown between Unbridled Class and Expect Indy. Expect Indy defeated Unbridled Class last time out, but Unbridled Class did not have a very good start in that race. She broke much better in that race on Wednesday in the Merrillville Stakes. Had the clear lead with a half mile to go, and only won by a length. And Expect Indy did make it close in the end. And she was under a drive from like the quarter pole all the way to the finish. And she ran a pretty darn good race, because Unbridled Class was on her game. And Unbridled Class turned the tables on Expect Indy. And then the big, big upset was in the Brickyard Stakes. Little Kansas came from off the pace and was wide and was able to defeat Mr. Manning. Another long shot. It was trained by Tim Glyshaw. So Glyshaw had all sorts of excitement and the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. But Little Kansas was just coming off of a non-1-3 allowance win for State Bred, a race I loved him in. But in this race, I didn't think he was up to the task. Double Tough, the huge favorite at 1-2, just never got it going in the race. I don't know if it was just too many races in a period of time. I don't know what the excuse might be, but he finished a non-threatening 6th, second choice in the race. Operation Stevie came from far back, but was able to uncoil enough of a rally. And Little Kansas and Mr. Manning, that was two big long shots in the Brickyard Stakes.
Well, going for a couple of notes out of this, but that Hillsdale, where you know, I thought it was these were all really worth looking at, and you know, you had a couple of big prices and a couple of short prices, but that Mai Tai's Gem, who I kind of felt would get, you know, the lead, ended up getting bet, you know, to favoritism, and Two Last Words, I thought got a terrific ride. The Jose
Riquelme,
exactly. And there were two things about Two Last Words. You know, we had talked not so much about this race, but we had talked about the maiden race that went as the fourth, and Commissioner. And you know, Commissioner just, you know, one after another, the 2 year olds are just firing, and you need to look, you know, two, three times. I mean, coming into last week, I haven't seen all the results this week, but coming into into last Tuesday, Commissioner had 34 starts from 18 horses, winning at a 26% rate, 56% in the money. And this was, you know, this horse is going to go down as his first stake winner of any kind, as it turns out.
Wow. That is something that breeding-wise, you can kind of latch yourself on to some of these new sires before everyone else starts, you know, getting on board. And, you know, from a handicapping perspective, that's what I would take from that.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned She's the Cause and Antonio Duran for owner Robert Saunders, almost 15-1, 31.60 in there in the city of Anderson. So what'd the pick four pay, actually? I lost track of that.
Hold on one second here. The all stakes pick four, it was pretty big. I had a friend actually hit it. I can't tell you who it is, but yeah, he hit it. It was a $2,931.75 for 50 cents.
Nice. Very nice. Almost $3,000. Very nice. There it is.
Yeah, the pool was about 48,000, which was nice. And, you know, just the all stakes pick four, I always love it when tracks do that. Love it when we do it. I always love it as a handicapper as well. I prefer the all stakes pick four as opposed to, I don't know, if it's a big field, then I don't mind, like, you know, throwing in a regular race in there. But if you can throw all stakes pick four, you know, it's like they do with the coast to coast pick four that we've been seeing on Saturdays as well, that's always another thing that I always love from a personal standpoint. As a better.
Well, we should also mention, you know, because we did spend time on it, that fourth race, that maiden group, and in fact, Cherie DeVoe came in with Acor, who got bet and had gone in as the 5-2 morning line favorite, and the Munnings filly was very good in here, as it happens, and won off by, you know, by a handful of lengths. I sent Cherie a congratulations, but her, after what felt like an agonizing slow start to her training career, Cherie's horses are things are starting to kind of knit and come together, and this was third win, I think, of total of her career so far, and she's won three different racetracks too so far, so congratulations to Cherie.
Yeah, and also another little story that came out of that day was Marcelino Pedroza got hurt early on and hurt his ankle, and went to the hospital. We didn't know if it was broken or not, and supposedly it was just a sprain. I won't know until I get to the track whether or not he is fine. He's scheduled to ride today, and I heard it was just a sprain, so hopefully he'll be able to ride. And then also, we're supposed to have the return of Deshaun Parker. I think he has a couple of horses that he's named on today. And then he's got like five on Wednesday. So hopefully he'll be back as well. He's been out for the last, couple months, it seems like. And so therefore, hopefully our top two jockeys will be in action this week in Indiana Grand.
Excellent. Well, here we are, and got... couple of ideas what to talk about this week, and anything we should be Anything we should like today?
Well, yeah. I think the Wednesday card is a little bit better than the Tuesday card. But, you know, early on I got some opinions. It just in the first race, it's just Indiana Bred. Now I'm going to just three lifetime race. But these are races that come up all the time at a racetrack. Granted, not just for, you know, just talking about everyday condition type claiming races. And Pass the Rush, who is the second choice at 5-2 on the outside, goes from an allowance race into a claiming race. There was a lot of speed in that race on August the 31st. And I just think the pacing here is the complete opposite for Pass the Rush in this race. I think he makes the lead. G.J. Buster comes off a four-length win, but he got everything his own way, I thought, in a race on August the 30th. And so I think Pass the Rush, and you get the 7 pounds from a very capable apprentice in Virginia Torme, who picks up the ride for the first time for trainer Mike Lauer. And I think Pass the Rush is a good play in race number one. And then in the second race early on, it's another one of those state bred races, non-winners of a race in 2019, non-winners of four races lifetime. But there's not a whole lot of early speed in this race either. So I'd be leaning towards horses with some early speed. And a couple that struck me was the four-horse Colonial Jill, who was at Ellis Park this summer for Ricky Short, who tends to run his horses at Ellis Park during that time of year. In the money, three starts, showed speed in all three races. And I think in this race, there's not a whole lot of early speed. So Colonial Jill at 9-2. We'll see if that holds or not. It was a tough line to make. But I thought Colonial Jill was interesting. Fernando de la Cruz is riding this mare for the first time. He's no stranger at Indiana Grand. And Easy Deer has shown some good speed on occasion. Comes out of a decent race on August the 13th. Had to deal with a speed ball. Will I stay or will I go? Didn't get the lead in that race. And Shyla, who won the race on August the 13th, came back to win the next time out. But those are the two I probably, you know, they're both probably non-favorites in the race. So I thought from a betting perspective, it might be good to mention, even though we're just talking about, you know, state-bred condition claiming race.
Well, the money's the same. The money you win will be whether you bet it on conditional Indiana bred claimers or whether you bet it on grade ones. It's all this. the six in the first, the four in the second, and you mentioned tomorrow's card, and you've made this point, Bill, you know, over the course of the season, that the Wednesday tends to be, you know, a little fuller field and a little bit, you know, maybe just a little bit more intriguing, you know, from start to finish, and you do have a sequence, 9-race card tomorrow, you know, starting at 2:15 Eastern, 8 horses, 9, 8, 8,
yep.
11, 10 with an entry, then 10 with an entry, 10 with an entry, and then 10 in the nightcap. So you got a very strong series of multi-race wager opportunities in terms of field size. Have you looked at that seventh race that you got that 5.5 furlong first level?
Yes, ironically. Yeah, ironically, that's probably where a horse I like the most is in that race.
Good.
5.5 furlong, entry level allowance race, one other than going 5.5 furlongs. And the horse that I like, well, there's two, and the two favorites are, I think, are both legit. Soap Bubble and Keeping It Classic. Soap Bubble, I think, scratched out of a Churchill allowance race in going in this race for trainer Brett Calhoun, but likes to come from far off the pace, but has been pacing better. Didn't fire last time out in mid-July. Been off since then. I'm expecting a little bit better race from Soap Bubble, but Keeping It Classy, for me, he didn't have a very good start at all in that race. It was a very subtle type race, but I put it down in my program. He didn't have that good a start. So I would, you know, if you want to watch that race back, go ahead. You know, showed, you know, made a little bit of a middle move. Firecrow, who was the horse that won the race on August 27th, got an easy lead. And so Keeping It Classy made a middle move and into Firecrow's soft early pace and faded back to third, went off as the favorite. So I'm hoping for a little bit better price. They take the blinkers off. They've been on for the last four starts. They must have seen something that they didn't like. So they take the blinkers off. But I think Keeping It Classy was a better Start is going to run his race. And then there's a horse in there, Interference, the 1A. Yeah, I know it's just against conditioned claimers last time out, but visually, my goodness, it might have been his best race ever, winning by 7 lengths. And I can see why Genaro Garcia might take a shot against Open Company, because if you win as an Indiana bred against Open Company in allowance races, there's a 40% bonus on top of it. So Interference is running for a lot of money, so I can see why Genaro Garcia is not playing around anymore with state bred races after that last race, because that last race visually was very, very impressive. But those are a couple horses that in tomorrow's seventh race that I think that you should use.
5:03 Eastern time, and just looking weather-wise, the sunlight will be fair along the Wabash. And Bill, I appreciate it. Indiana Grand, Bill Downs won on Twitter, and some very good, couple of good cards, and particularly tomorrow. And I appreciate it. We'll talk a couple of weeks.
You got it. Thanks,
Bill Downs, everybody, and Indiana Grand. The action, you don't have to wait for the weekends. You got Presque and Indiana and Finger Lakes and much, much more. Let's take a break, 20 minutes, and we'll close out the morning. It's been busy. And John White will swing in. We'll get to a couple of things, particularly in Los Al, that we hadn't had a chance to discuss. Mark Glatt. Boy, oh, boy. It is a lot of ways. It has really been the year of Glatt. Another stake winner for him, if you didn't see it in that new Los Al special. And also, if you didn't see Steve Anderson's piece, we'll know more tomorrow, but Los Al appealing that Southern California schedule for 2020, and they want the dates, Doc Allred wants the dates more appropriately distributed and returned to, you know, what Los Al has been doing, the CHRB. Jesus. Take a break. John White next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Where's the tiger? Can't find the tiger. Lost the tiger. Ain't seen the tiger. Where's the tiger? Look for the tiger. Lost the tiger. Has anybody seen the tiger?
We're back at the races, just 15 minutes to close out this Tuesday, and John White standing by, and John is standing by getting ready for the return of racing to Santa Anita. But in the meantime, another weekend at Los Al, and there's actually a couple of good spots later already this week that are established. They ran that first Los Al special, the mile and a quarter, on Sunday, and I haven't talked about this race yet, but John joins us. And John, Mark Glatt has had just a spectacular year, and here's another one, a horse that he claimed for small money, and he recognized that he was a horse that might enjoy a trip like this, and he sure did on the front end under Joe Talamo. What happened to John? Is John there? I hear sort of that sound of, oh, you lost John. All right, we'll get John back. That'll happen. We'll get. if you hadn't seen this Zestful, and we didn't, you know, the field was drawn Thursday, but this is a horse that, you know, I've been running a lot of mid 80 buyers, high 70s, mid 80s, and they claimed him for $40,000. Ran him back in a starter allowance, which he won. And you know, the horse has been in great form for an extended period. It's pretty amazing. And Glatt must have liked something about, you know, about his potential to go a route of ground. He's been, you know, he'd been running a mile and a 16th. He had actually tried won a mile and a half race on the grass at Gulfstream. There's John White. John, I'm talking about Zestful. What a claim by Mark Glatt, who's just done everything right all year long.
Well, he certainly has, and of course, a very meaningful win for him, that Long Acres Mile, my all-time favorite race up in the Pacific Northwest, which that's the big deal up there. And for Mark, whose father was a trainer at Long Acres, Ron Glatt, That just meant a lot to the family. In fact, it was great that Ron Glatt was there with Mark on the day for the victory of the Long Acres Mile by law-abiding citizen, who's going to get some time off, and he'll return this winter at Santa Anita. So he's getting some R&R after that Long Acres Mile win. But yes, indeed, Zestful's on this winning binge now, and a son of Gold Sapper out of a Smoke Black and Mare, so a nice pedigree there. And Mark Glatt's made some sharp claims and won some nice stakes races, and it's been a big year for Mark.
Well, he also, you know, has had really a couple of chances with some big ticket babies, and it's great. One of our really favorite people, and this, you know, this horse didn't do anything he hasn't been doing. He ran an 84. It's not like you know, he moved him up or anything. It just, this was a clever spot to, you know, to run Zestful. And I'm just seeing, he's been running in blinkers since January. It's also notable, John, this was his 11th start of the year, and he made the 10 starts last year. I mean, so this is a horse that's just thriving on the work.
Kind of a throwback horse, isn't he? And I also want to give credit to Bob Marino, one of the nicest guys in racing, and who does just a superlative job as the racing secretary. Salados, in that you know, that's a tough spot to be trying to fill races. And he's very creative, Bob Marino is, so that's to his credit to come up with a race like this. So, by the way, you had Bill Downs just on, and I sat next to Bill in the press box at Santa Anita for several years when I was doing the simulcast commentary at Santa Anita. Bill was doing the phone results. Each race he would go over and give the results, but he was also an aspiring track announcer, and he would be out on the roof practicing calling races. And now he's been a long time successful announcer at numerous tracks, but especially known for his work at Indiana Grand. And I also wanted to wish you a happy anniversary, Steve. And for me, this is always each month on the 17th, this is an anniversary for me. And people would say, well, why do you celebrate an anniversary every month on the 17th? Well, it was on May 18th. 1981 that I met my future wife, Tracy. We have something in common. You met Tina at a racetrack, Saratoga. I met my wife, Tracy, at a racetrack, Hollywood Park, which is just only yesterday it was announced that that site where the football stadium is well on its way to completion now has a name. SoFi Stadium is the official name of that new football stadium where the Los Angeles Rams and Los Angeles Chargers will begin playing next year. And so where I met my wife is now going to be where future Super Bowls are going to be held. And but I'll never forget that day at Hollywood Park and on May 17th, and it was such an important day in my life, and I knew it right away that I've given my wife a greeting card on the 17th of every month since May 17th, 1981. Starting in June of 1981, I've given her, and she got her greeting card already today. It's thing that I've kept up all these years as the price of greeting cards has gone up.
Well, John, that is about as sweet and romantic a notion. I love that. That's really that's great.
Well, not only that, but you know, I had worked for several, starting with the racing form in 1974, and my goals starting in 1974 had been to work my way up through the ranks to get to Southern California as a columnist and reporter. And in 1981, I was promoted to that position, and the first person to congratulate me on that was Randy Moss, now of NBC. And Randy and I had gotten to know each other at Louisiana Downs in 1980. He was working in publicity, and I was a columnist for the racing form there. And when Randy congratulated me on being promoted with the form to California, he also said, by the way, there's a girl out there you need to look up because I think you two would really hit it off. And he had gotten to know Tracy at Kentucky Derbies because she was the editor of the Thoroughbred of California Breeding Magazine. And so I'd already been tipped off to Tracy by Randy before we met on May 17th, 1981. I can also tell you that was a special day in my life because John Henry won the feature that day, the Hollywood Invitational Grade 1 race. And that was the first time I ever got to see John Henry run live because I had just been working in Southern California for a couple of weeks. And here's one for you. The winner of the race before John Henry was a horse called Me Good Man, who had won numerous stakes at Louisiana Downs when I was there the year before. And his trainer was Mike Stidham, who was very young at the time. Al was a very successful trainer on the national stage. So Mike won the race right before John Henry won the day I met my wife there at Hollywood Park back in 1981. And that's many, many years ago.
I love it. John, a couple of notes about particularly looking ahead to Thursday at Los Al. And I don't know if you had a chance to take a peek, but the phone chatter, you come back with the two-year-old fillies in here. You've also got a couple of good maiden races, the fourth, which is for the three and ups, and then two-year-olds that continue. You know, this continues to be a hotbed for the two-year-old maidens, and I think we got a couple in here to keep an eye on. There's that $420,000 gingham from Baffert that drew the rail. This is the Quality Road Filly that finished second behind KP Dreamin' at Del Mar. Hollendorfer's got a pair, Seahawk Lisa, and this a hard-spun filly out of Seahawk Girl, and then Sentimental Giovanni Franco, who's off to a rough start at the meet. Franco is 0 for 19 coming into Thursday at Los Al, and this is an honor code filly for Mike Stinson, Sentimental, that was an expensive purchase and didn't run great in the debut, but you know, looks to have worked pretty well since. That came mid Del Mar. So Columbia Gold, too, for Andrew Lerner, who's had a very good year, very quietly. This is a dialed-in filly from Marta Weil. So you got a couple of good maiden races, and then when it came to the stake, we're looking at 7-5 for Paid Informant for Baltus, the Into Mischief filly that debuted really nicely at Del Mar back mid-meet.
Well, the Farm Chatter was scheduled over the weekend but didn't fill, and Bob Moreno kept his nose to the grindstone and, lo and behold, was able to get this race to go for Thursday, so that's good. And it's named in honor of the 1993 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner that was trained by Richard Mandela. And quality response for Bob Baffert, a quality road filly, certainly a contender, 6-5 on Russell Hudak's morning line coming off the win, in which she won by a big margin, didn't get a big buyer in that race at Del Mar, but still was very visually impressive in that race. And then you get Pratt on the rail with that Paid Informant, who is a daughter of Into Mischief, and we hardly see any offspring of Into Mischief. He doesn't breed. There are not many foals by Into Mischief out there, so this is kind of to see an Into Mischief. Also, Coliseum is going to add some spice to the card at Los Alamitos on Thursday in that ninth race. This is the highly regarded Tappet colt that came out at Del Mar last fall and was so impressive for Bob Baffert, and won just with authority. He got a 91 buyer, but then really was just, he got unraveled during the Santa Anita meet, nowhere in the sham when he didn't break well, and then kind of a very disappointing third in the San Vicente as well. So he went on the shelf. He'll get his comeback there. He's 9-5 on the line with Joe Talamo riding. So even late in the card, as that goes as the ninth race on the card, the comeback race for Coliseum, who races for the powerful Godolphin operation.
Yeah, a couple of days worth of action. This card is nice, and I know the fields aren't big, and you know, everybody should understand and appreciate what Los Al is doing, you know, as these more or less as these placeholding opportunities at junctures on the calendar, you know, particularly the grass horses, they get a chance to freshen and come back at Santa Anita. You know, I referenced, John, before you joined us too, the CHRB meeting, which I think is tomorrow, Doc Allred, you know, repetitioning to get that preliminary schedule that really shortchanged Los Al for next year. We'll see what comes out of that.
We will indeed. We'll see what happens with that date situation with the CHRB. Also looking forward to the Pennsylvania Derby at Parks this weekend myself. And, you know, I'm going to go with Improbable in that race for the Baffert Barn. Baffert's had terrific success in the Pennsylvania Derby in recent years. You've got Mike Smith riding. I like the way Improbable got back in winning form with the blinkers for the Shared Belief at Del Mar. And Mike Smith, he's approaching Jerry Bailey's grade one stakes record in the United States and Canada. He's got 213, and he's only three away from Jerry Bailey's record of 216. So Mike Smith on the brink of a record. And I'm going to go with Improbable, and if Improbable wins, that'll get Bailey even a little bit closer to that Jerry Bailey record.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that, too. John, I appreciate it. Enjoy the week, and indeed, the three-year-old scene will certainly get either more confusing or more more in focus after Saturday and Pennsylvania Derby, and the Phillies too, because Guarana coming back with a chance to, you know, really put a exclamation on her credentials toward the Philly championship as well. I appreciate
it. And happy anniversary once again to you and Tina. The fact that you've been married 8 years and I met Tina before you were married tells me how long I've known you.
That's right. That's right.
So that kind of gave me some pause today. How the years fly by is amazing.
That's for sure. And this 3 hours flew by, too. Gail Cox joined us. Dick Powell, Andy Serling, Marshall Graham, Bill Downs, John White, and thanks to Deja behind the glass. And enjoy the day. Good luck if you're playing. And back with you tomorrow, 9 a.m. Replay tomorrow morning here on Sirius XM, 6 to 9. Thanks, everybody.